regular vocational program license renewal for Mesa Academy of Dental. Ms. Santo?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. At your August meeting in 2015, the board approved the conditional vocational program license application for Mesa Academy of Dental Assisting with the stipulation to maintain the $15,000 surety bond, and there were a number of revisions required in the enrollment agreement, catalog, and policies. Mesa Academy of Dental is now seeking renewal of the conditional curated vocational program license. Here representing the institution is Dr. Keith Rogers and Cheryl Ellsworth, and your board member lead is Mr. Tharp.
Hi, welcome. Your state your name for the record, please.
Dr. Keith Rogers.
Cheryl Ellsworth.
Welcome. Would you like to make any statement?
I think we're good.
Okay. So tell me, how's it been going since I saw you last?
Pretty good. We're not making, you know, bundles of cash, but we showed a modest profit. And the ladies are fun to teach, and everybody that's wanted a job has gotten one. And so we've been real happy about that. One of the problems that I worried about was being able to find externships for them, and that hasn't been a problem at all. People coming to us asking for our externs, and so that's been nice.
How many externship agreement sites do you have?
How many would you say?
We actually just added four this last week, but every student that's gone out has been probably 15.
Yeah, are you doing any type of agreement with them, or is it a verbal?
Yeah, no,
written.
They have written.
Yeah, they're written. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, you know, because you do recall I probably peppered you with questions about externship last year. That's always my concern about when they do these offices that convert to schools, so do a little bit of both.
And it's just not quantity. We've had really quality externships. We have, you know, the Arizona Maxillofacial Surgeons are asking for our externs. We had the dental school, A.T. Stills, asked. So, you know, we've got some good quality externships.
So you've had a total of 9 students. What do you have right now?
How many do we have currently?
How many students do you have right now?
We've got 4.
We've added 4, so that's 14.
So those 4 that are still going.
Have they been hired by the externship sites?
A couple of them had been offered jobs, and they chose not to stay there. But the ones that have been offered have taken jobs, and they're happily still there.
Will those places then allow you to bring in another person to externship? Or?
Yeah. We have like you said, AZ Max. There's a maxillofacial surgeons have asked us to call every time we get, because they hire a lot. So they said, let us be your first, let us choose first out of your externs. So that's worked out really well.
We also have a dental lab that's kind of the premier dental lab that wants our externs to work as lab techs, because they have dental terminology that they learn from us. And they can train them on the different stuff, and that's a good job opportunity.
Yeah, it is, and I do know about that. So yeah,
it worked out well. We actually had one student that got into it, and everything that she learned, decided she didn't know she really wanted to, you know, get involved with. And then so we offered her this lab externship, and she got offered a position in the CAD/CAM department, which is amazing.
Okay. Great. Moving on to your application, it was generally put together good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Really appreciate the cross-referencing. It makes my review so much easier to do. But let's go to the enrollment agreement. Number 8 on the enrollment agreement is that this agreement is presented in more to one page. It must be clearly and conspicuously referred the student to the succeeding pages. Maybe it was just something with the application, but it's not paginated, my enrollment agreement. It doesn't say one of 2, you know, 1 of 4, 2 of 4. So that's got to appear that way.
Okay.
You have to change.
Somewhere I did that, but.
You might have, but this minor okay. just, mine mm-hmm. just have concurrent numbers like 8, 19, 20, 21.
Okay.
So you
I'll
have
check
a,
it, sure.
you have a 4-page.
Right.
Like 4 pages plus, the grievance procedure off to the side.
Yeah,
because
the one I have, like I have 4 of 4, 3 of 4. Anyway.
That's okay. Is it done that way? Is that how yours is? Okay. Well, then I'm okay with that.
It's time to use that version.
That would be the one we'd like to see.
I think you kind of got a quick throw together a version. We had a mix up of paperwork.
Okay, we're going to move on to the catalog right now. Number five, list of all programs offered, catalog number five. Where this is it? There's a statement in there, but it doesn't say the program. You know, it kind of led me to a program of course offered. It says a certificate program where students receive a certificate of completion from Mesa Academy of Dental Assisting. I mean, you can infer that that's dental assisting, but I would simply add the students receive a certification of completion for dental assisting. It doesn't say that, you know. See what I'm saying?
I'm confused.
I'm a little confused.
Page three.
Okay.
Program courses offered. This is a certificate program. Okay. Again, doesn't say where students receive a certificate of completion from Mesa County of Dental Assisting. I mean, I don't know. I might be in a nitpick, but that's the school. It doesn't say. I put a certificate of completion in dental assisting from Mesa School of Dental Assisting.
Okay.
That you clearly name the thing that was going to be too big.
Okay.
It just does seem kind of obvious. And I couldn't find it. Maybe perhaps you could point me in the right direction. Maybe I just missed it. But on 13K, credit for previous education, training, work, or life experience has to be in the catalog. On the sheet I got from you guys, it left blank, and I could not find it in the catalog.
Okay, somewhere it says no credit is given for any other.
I saw that, I think, in your documentation, and quite possibly even on the enrollment agreement, but I could not find it in the catalog. So if you can point me to it, I'll gladly mark that off my list.
Okay.
If not, you need to add that, okay?
If it's not, I will add it, but it is.
I read the whole thing front to back, so I never saw it. I saw it, like I said, in other
documents. Can I just make a note to add it if I can't find it?
Yeah, you can. Go to my major ones.
On page 5 in the catalog, under grading criteria, you state the students will be placed on probation, but you don't say how long the probation will be. Do you just let them stay on it until they reach the GPA, or do you give them a set time period?
I until they pull it back up to that percent, but I can add that in.
Typically, if the student is not doing well and you put them on probation, it's to give them notice that they need to step up their game and give them a period of time. Otherwise, they could just continue on, and you have people who finish the program but are not eligible for graduation because they are nowhere near.
Yeah, it does say probationary period, so we have to define that period.
You have to have a time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're not going to tell you what needs to be. Look at to see what is reasonable. And if you put a specific period, when you put a specific period, you don't have to terminate them at the end of that. You can have other
options.
Steps, but you have to explain what it is. And again, it's because that would be something a student would come in and complain about, either. You know, I had 65% average the entire way. They let me go all the way through and then said I couldn't graduate. That's not fair. I was almost there. I got to 69, and they said, too bad. We're not going to give you, an extra day to do something. And they don't complain about that.
Right.
So whatever you say, you have to do. So don't hang yourself with what you write, but make sure it does have some clarity there. And then this gets into our famous potential for puffery. There are a lot of issues these days about schools being potentially misleading when they tell people what they're going to get out of the program. So you know that the job outlook for dental assistants is projected to grow 25% from 12 to 22. So I assume that you have a statistic you can back up and point to that clearly says that. And if you can't exactly point where that's from, then you mustn't say it. And it was on to say, which is much faster than the average for all occupations. So again, that's
it. Yeah. We pulled that right off of the website, the work.
Just make sure that whatever you say here,
most people cite it, honestly. Okay. I see it cited. It's not in this, but most people.
What page?
Most people cited if they use it. I know you grabbed this from BLS. That's their language.
Yeah.
I can see
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
but most people will put it, you know, cite it where they got it.
Your flavor is 26.
Oh, okay. What page was that? I'm sorry. Six?
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just said so she just needs to note that it's from the Bureau of Labor
Statistics.
Yeah,
then
you're
from
BLS.
BLS, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
show that you didn't make it up.
Okay.
And even the date.
All occupations, like, though, is weird.
Yeah, whatever you put here, you just have to be backed up. So let's say that was the statistic that was true in the end of 15. You don't say where you came from. And then a student comes and says, oh, I went out in the book, and I come to find it was 24%, so they lie.
Right. You yeah, updated so. Every year, basically.
Just say where you got it from and the date. Because anything that you state, you have to back up. And it still makes sure that it truly does back up much faster than the average for all occupations. That's a pretty strong statement. Could be good. I know that we have a lot of dental assisting schools, so I hope that means that there's jobs out there for them. Under the LOA and student reentry, it says, student will be required to wait for reentry until the course material that's missed during the LOA is scheduled to be taught in the next course rotation, which is fine. It shows that they're stepping out, so you're not going to reinvent the wheel for them. But your leave says it's a maximum of 1 month. So if they cannot come back within that month, I assume since if they say, I want to leave for a month, you say, we'll give you leave for a month, but you can't come back for 5 weeks, you would still allow them. We actually are just starting a lot into marketing. Our first group was
Craigslist,
social media,
yeah,
things like that. And to be really honest, our next two groups have been a lot of word of mouth. That's been really helpful.
Well, that's the best way.
We're looking at there's certain areas where we've noticed that other dental assisting schools are picking up a lot of people from certain areas of the valley, you know, we're kind of in the know. She knows a lot of the people that are working at the different schools. And so we're looking at targeting those areas in advertising. And so we've already got a flyer that we're in the process of getting printed off that we're going to be sending to those areas. And we're looking at putting up a billboard as well. Also, help us getting students. We're going to be eligible for workforce in February. So that'll probably add a couple to our roles.
Good. So, yeah. Good for you. All right, make a motion. I make a motion that we grant, approve the conditions of regular vocational license for Mesa Academy of Dental Assisting with the following stipulations: that you maintain the $15,000 surety bond and you make the edits to the catalog about the probationary period and the name of the one.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Further discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. You agree with the stipulation.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, sorry about that. Moving right along.
Aye. Sorry.
Anyone opposed? Then motion carries.
Okay. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Regular vocational program license renewal, supplemental license application for a new program, and supplemental license application for a change of location, computer learning center. Next
panel. Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. At your August meeting in 2015, the State Board approved the conditional vocational program license for our computer learning center with a stipulation to maintain the $15,000 surety bond, and there were substantive revisions required to the application documents. Documents were received and reviewed, and the certificate was issued. I did note that this the original conditional vote was also reviewed by the board in April, May, and August of 2015. Excuse me, and I provided you a copy of the reports from those meetings. Computer Learning Center is seeking renewal of the 2016 conditional degree vocational program license. The office submitted a supplemental for a change of location and a supplemental app for a new program. Both of these are referred to you for discussion action. Should be noted, excuse me, that CLC moved from its location in Northern prior board approval. I was also very concerned with the new program application. The programs are inconsistent on the Catalan website. You're representing the institution of George Davis. Thank you. And Mr. Tharp will begin the conversation.
Hi, welcome, Stephen, for the record.
George David.
Mr. David, do you want to make any statement for the board or about the school, how things are going, or do you just want to be available for questions?
Well, we got a good start going. We got six or seven people that signed up to do various programs. And we're in the process of trying to get the Workforce Investment Act to get approval there, but we can't do that until we get the regular license. Okay. Other than that, it's going forward.
All right. Well, you know, you and I have dealt with each other for a long time, you know, on the last one. But, I'm disheartened to see that there still seems to be a lot of regulatory and attention to detail issues with this application. I mean, and we'll go through some of them, but they're quite numerous. But we'll start off by, you know, your license was due a certain day and it came in late. Why was it late?
We have no reason for that. We should have turned it in on time. It was my mistake.
Okay.
It was 2 days late, yeah.
Actually, it was more than that. That was the original application without the submitting documentation. That was not the renewal. The renewal and then the accompanying documentation did not come until, what was it, 17th or 18th? So technically, it was like around a 12-day wait.
So there was that. I'm confused, too. You moved without going through the proper channels, without the license. You sense it submitted for that. Do you have two locations, though? Because some of the material I read would lead me to believe that there's two locations. Because it said, somewhere in there I read it said I opened a satellite, or we opened a satellite, or a branch, or something like that. Oh, since the March 99th meeting, it was testing. And July 15th, that's a different one. Okay. Anyway, can you address your locations? Where are you? Do you have more than one?
No, we only have one location. We moved about mid-August. And we did not submit anything to the board until we got the lease agreement signed. We weren't sure if we were going to get the location. As soon as we got the lease agreement signed, we submitted the lease agreement along with the associated paperwork. I believe it was mid-August when we submitted it.
So you submitted it before you actually moved?
We submitted right after we got the lease agreement. Yes, ma'am.
So you had not yet physically moved when you submitted it?
We were in the process of getting the keys and moving. No, we hadn't established a site yet. We had not established a site yet to do any training. As a matter of fact, none of the training took place in the new location as we speak. So mid-August is when we submitted the paperwork, along with the proper renewal application cover sheet. So to answer your question, it's only one site, and we moved mid-August.
Yeah, that's a little bit out of our regulation, so just make, again, it's your responsibility as the operator to know all these stuff, so. Lots of deficiencies on the thing here. Go through this and.
As far as look at, real quick, when your first application came in and you ended up coming for us three times, and I don't know about the others, but I felt like we had become like your consultants, helping you get through the whole thing, giving you a lot of feedback and a lot of chances. And then, you know, year two comes around and you use the wrong application, and based on the history of everything they have here, it seems like the staff had to go back and forth a lot with you again. So I guess the concern for me is, you know, how much hand-holding will you continue to need to run the business? Because, you know, you have to be administratively capable. You have to be able to be running the school, you know, independently, obviously seeking advice from others, but we are not your consultants to help you keep going through this. So it doesn't look good for you that your second year application was, seems like it wasn't in very better condition than the first time you did it. Did you seek help to do it?
Seek help to do what?
To do the application. Did you just... You
did
it on your
own? No, I do it. I've been doing it for, I was licensed for 10 years. I'm familiar with it. I made the mistake of using the initial application cover sheet versus the renewal. And if you look at those two forms, they look very, very similar. The only thing that says, if you can pull it out, the only thing that says on top, the first page, it says renewal. The other one says initial application. My mistake, I picked the wrong cover sheet. But the information needed for the renewal was provided. Granted, it was 2 days late, and I paid my late fees, the $200. But that's the only issue I had with turning in my application. It was turned in 2 days late, I paid my late fees, and then the staff let me know that I need to provide a new cover sheet, which is a renewal application. And I went back and started working on that. While I was doing that, we were in the process of moving. I was doing the moving paperwork to submit to you. So I waited till I got all my lease agreements and my movement paperwork together, and I submitted the proper form, and Terry is correct, around 12 or 13 days after that, submitted my lease agreement and my movement request for movement along with the new form and submit it back to the board.
Okay. Let's move into your catalog. Mm-hmm. Dated the one August 15th, 2016. To emphasize, there's a typo under objectives, the very last one, it's dated basis. So that's a typo. Under history, and this statement appears on several, I mean, I've seen it a couple times. It says, on March 21st, 2000, the Arizona Board for Private Post-Secondary Education, on an individual referral process basis, licensed CLC. Can you explain to me what that means?
This is an old statement. It's been in our catalog like 10 years ago. And I thought we had changed that because I believe it was Keith that pointed that out to me. And I thought we changed that and submitted the new. It was pointed out to me by the board to remove that. So if that's not removed, it needs to be removed out of that.
It's definitely still there, at least on mine.
It was one of the standard buzzwords that the private post used to use way back. And then we should have taken this out of there.
Yeah, in 2000, too, because they were unlicensed for a long time. You were unlicensed for a while, and then you came back, so I don't know if we'd still go back to 2000.
I don't believe the board ever used that, because it makes no sense.
Okay.
But we were told about that, I believe, when I went through the catalog, and then we decided that is correct. We're going to need to move that more out of there on the individual referral process.
I'm looking at continuing on the history. The main location for CLC, and this is on page 3, has been at the Northern Avenue. To accommodate, they opened Tempe, and this was all in 2000. But, okay, I'm just looking at this. It doesn't really say where we are today, but I think I'm okay with all that.
It should be the last entry says on August 15th, located this current facility. Do you have that, or maybe?
No, I don't. Not in my catalog. I don't. What are you looking at? I'm looking at this.
The history?
The 1027 one. This catalog. Is there another one you want me to look at?
This one was in the thousand. I was looking at the renewal.
I'm looking at full catalog. Right, like that under the 1027-16 license renewal deficiency.
That one?
Looks like this. Looks like that. Go to that one. I did also notice that you included it somewhere else. So.
This is the one.
Before I march on, since I'm here, please tell me if that's the most current one I should be using.
This one that's listed?
That's not the one I'm looking at.
Well, there are so many dang different versions.
Well, I figured 1027 is, well, that's today, but. Okay, this is a whole new one, so I'm sorry. This one's October dated October
3rd,
2016. Well, that's why I asked at the outset, is this the most recent catalog?
So if you look at the new one, the individual referral process thing on page 2 was removed. And the word basis.
No, it isn't. It's still there. Says on an individual basis process. Still says March 21st, 2000, and as a matter of clarity, can you go back to that?
Yeah, that's still there, yeah.
Okay. So March 21st, 2000 is okay. Yes?
I'm sorry.
March 21st, 2000 is when, you know, because he was initially accredited and stuff, and then that lapsed, remember, and then he came back to us. So
correct.
Do you go back?
I'd have to look at the exact dates again.
Okay.
It was that long ago.
Is October 3rd the latest catalog?
Yes.
Okay, I got you relocated. This one has what you pointed me to.
Yes, sir.
But it does have the, on the individual level basis.
We need to remove that. Okay, got it.
I'll be still going. Having a process. What I would do. Oh, yeah. Doesn't Ames test will be administered. So are you still using that?
Yes.
Okay. If we had some things, because that was just a dummy test, so last time we talked a lot about this, about how you're insuring, because anybody can go grab that, including the students coming to your institution. So how are you ensuring the test integrity of that?
How are you administering the Ames test?
Well, we print a hard copy of it and sit them in a testing room and give them a test. The Ames test. We print it off of the website and we'll give it to the individual.
Did you, last time I directed also to check with the state that was okay, we used that. Did we ever get
it? And it was established that it was okay, yeah.
I'm still a little bit confused that your admissions policy doesn't say that you have to be a certain age or obviously if you only require a seventh grade education, then they must not need a high school diploma. But yet my understanding is that some of the jobs that you're quoting require a bachelor's degree to get the job. So I'm a little confused about if you're taking people in with a seventh grade education and no age limit, when they go to apply for a job. So if I'm an eighth grader, can I apply to your school?
No.
Okay. I don't see where it says anything about age limit. This just says I have to have seventh grade education.
Right, you're right.
And actually, it's only as a note. So your actual admissions policies just say that you have to apply, have an appointment. They have to register. They have to be motivated. They have to be available on time. They have to meet program requirements, and they have the ability to meet. They have to have ability to pay you. And then, as a note, by the way, you have to have at least a seventh grade education. So that's not a very complete admissions requirement, because the point of this, I could come in with an eighth grade education. So if there is an age requirement, it should be there. And you say, note, AIMS test will be administered to validate seventh grade level competency. We're required as an enrollment prerequisite. So is that based on if I have good grammar or bad grammar, you decide if I have seventh grade education? Is if I show you I have a high school diploma, you assume I have a seventh grade education? What is the we're required? Where does that come in?
It's too vague.
Yeah.
It's too vague. You need to really tighten that up as far as 18 years or older, GED equivalents.
If you remember, that was a major issue we had last year.
With I understand why it's still here.
The AIMS was still allowed. The admissions have not been corrected like they should, like they were or should have been. But the primary problem was that the programs accepted someone with just these bare minimal entrance requirements, but all the jobs for the programs, 90% or better, whatever, most of them would require a bachelor's degree. So his admissions don't align with what the programs will require to get a job.
Right, that would be misleading. So based on this, if I'm an eighth grader, I could get the, I could go to this school because I have a seventh grade education. However you decide how that's validated, since it appears to be a personal thing that you would maybe have a conversation with me or something and decide if I sound like I have passed seventh grade. But then to get a job and the information that you are listing as the kind of jobs people would get, I'm pretty certain that an eighth grader with seventh grade, past seventh grade, is not going to get a $30,000 a year job even if they finish your schooling. So the admissions policy needs to be in alignment that people who are admitted can do your program, and people who do your program will be qualified for the job that you're teaching them for. And that is a common complaint that we get, is people take a program, and then when they go to get a job, they find out that that program did not qualify them for the job, or they didn't meet minimum requirements for the job for other reasons.
On page 4, number 2, under general policies, it says students who have absence greater than 10% of any academic period or who violate conduct rules family will be subject to termination. Okay, so what, how are you, how's your school designed again for academic, what is your academic periods?
It's normally seven days for the hardcore classes, seven sessions, let's say the A-plus certification or the help desk support certification. Help to support training. It's 7 days. So if an individual misses 10% of that, so the number of sessions, 10% of that will normally it's no more than two. So if he misses, if he or she misses two sessions, we need to talk to him.
Why don't you say that instead of 10%? Because 10% of seven, depending on how many hours, it gets a little.
Because they're not all 7 days. We have programs that are. That are 10 sessions, there's programs that are 15 sessions and so on. So 10% is a quantifiable to go across all programs.
Is that third? Okay, because on page 5.
Right, we were going over there.
So on the next page, you say that as long as a student has attended enough sessions to meet the minimum attendance requirements of 80%, so you're threatening them to kick them out of school because they have more than 10. You know, the very next page, you tell them it's perfectly fine to only have 80%.
Where at on the next page, please?
At page 5, complete CO.
I'm sorry, I don't see that. Complete?
Where it says student academic status, and underneath there, there's enrolled status.
Yes.
The completed status.
Oh, you see. Okay. I got it.
So that's 80%. So it's fine to have some sort of a graduated thing. You put a student on morning or something, but that's a very big difference. That here you're saying that you may be withdrawn if you have 10%, but we'll graduate you if you have 80%. That's not.
Yeah, and then if you even go down two down below that drop, the student has not met the minimum attendance requirements in the course. I'm probably gonna be telling you if you drop me at 10%, say, well, you told me right above here I could miss 80%.
No, we need.
I mean, I have to attend 80%.
We need to match these two. You're absolutely right.
Same page, academic probation. That's kind of footnoted there in italics. How long are they on academic probation? What's the period?
We need to add that in. It's not in.
Yeah, just going to the bottom of page 6, where it says under the quarterly career seminar. I think you mean to put placement in there, but it says career plot.
Build a career plan.
I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's supposed
that
to be a plan.
Needs to be fixed.
Okay. Help us with page 11, missing links is not rising, but I don't understand it.
Did you see page 11?
Okay. We couldn't find what you're talking about.
Page 11?
No, on 9.
Yeah, 9.
Oh, you said typo, we don't see a typo.
Number 2 does not read right.
When 3 working days of the request for conference, the faculty member, the problem is not resolved, the faculty staff member has been unable to meet with the student.
Period. Oh, it's not a good thought.
Yeah. Okay, go. Sorry, back up to page 9, Mr. David. Number 2 under the agreement procedure. That's not a, it doesn't convey a complete thought, so you'll need to edit that.
Okay.
Page 11.
Okay, pick my note.
Yeah, we're not understanding. Maybe Mr. Jacob.
Linux is identified as one of our license program, but both the catalog, it's not listed.
So this is two separate things. It's missing Linux, and separate from that, there's a server
administrator that isn't licensed, is in the catalog.
So are you still teaching Linux?
Yes.
Is there a reason why it was taken out of the catalog?
Not in the catalog.
It was in one of the earlier.
It was. I got to look at it.
Yeah, that's not intentionally done, but
I think it was also missing off the website.
And it's okay to use that because I remember a big part of this was a lot of these were specifically named and. Want to miss Jason who can help me with this technical stuff? It is missing out of this,
sure.
The most current catalog.
So. The program listing, as I had said several times, did in the catalog versus the license program versus the website are inconsistent.
Right.
They continue to be. I cross checked it on blue in the face.
They can't be. Yeah.
I would like to request an executive session to get some legal advice.
I'll second that.
If you, my apologies, please gather here. Oh, we have to vote. All those in favor?
Hold on.
I'm pretty sure that package won't gather something. We have made a motion, a second to
Mr. David.
He hasn't been voted on them yet. We have a motion, a second for, yeah, when you get to no, we have a motion, a second to executive session. So.
Your vote, okay.
We got a vote.
We have a motion. Oh, wait, all those in favor?
Oh. Is this to go in?
Yes.
Okay, I'm hanging up.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We go into executive session at 2:06.
No one's on it.
Just calling in case somebody needs it.
Welcome to CenturyLink. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the first person to join the meeting. The line will be silent until another person joins.
Mr. David. All right, thanks for that. I'm going to turn it over to
you. Back in session. We're back in session at 2:14.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over here for financial data.
Mr. David, could you pull up your financial statements? There are numerous discrepancies, and so it's difficult for us to understand what we're looking at here. So, starting with the form January to December 2015 that you submitted, you list current assets of $30,422. Do you have the document?
Yes, sir.
On your balance sheet, in your financial statements, however, you list your current assets of minus $9,176.85.
Is this, you're looking at a wood balance sheet for 2015 or 2016?
This is for 15, and I'm also comparing it with the form that you filled out also for 15.
I see the form within the application.
Right. But and then do you have the balance sheet for as of December 31st, 2015?
Right. And I don't see that on the balance sheet. We must have a different version of the balance sheet.
It says Computer Learning Center LLC at the top center, and then at the top left it says 4:29 p.m. Does yours have that?
This is what I got. So, let me get this.
Why don't we sit next to each other? So this is the form that you submitted, right? And the balance sheet that you submitted to the board or to the is this balance sheet.
That's it. We updated, yes. I recall sending another one.
New balance.
Two balance sheets. And then, in fact, Terry talked to me about that, and she said, well, it looks different than the first one. Okay. And then we decided this was the latest that we should use this one for 2015 because we corrected that was old.
Okay. So this is the new balance sheet.
Yes, sir.
Then all of these bank accounts are
old from the old company. So I shouldn't have used that when I initially submitted that paperwork. That's why I corrected it and gave the board the latest and the most accurate financial picture for the company, which is these right here. And I believe it was given to the board.
Okay, and then this doesn't match up with this either, unless you revised this one.
We did not revise this one.
So
this is the latest.
Right, so this one doesn't match up because here you have, let's say, current assets of $16,891, right? And here it's current assets of $30,422.
This,
this is incorrect.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we move along. Then we have for 2016, you have.
Here's the latest.
Okay. You have a profit and loss through December of 2016. Is this not correct?
It's probably profit and loss.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your profit and loss, unless this is a projection, it's only October, right? This is for 2016.
Right.
You're looking at 2015. So you submitted January through December 2016, but we're only in October. You see the problem here?
Right.
There's still November and December, so this can't be accurate, right? And then we have so that's not correct either. And then in 2015 you had significant liabilities, but in 2016 you have no liabilities at all. You have no accounts payable, you have
no.
Bills, no credit cards.
The application, the financial that was submitted with the application needs to be updated. This is incorrect. What I send to the board, the new profit and loss and new balance sheet should correspond with, we need to resubmit a new financial here needs to be corrected to match.
In other words, these are incorrect.
Mr. David, are these incomplete financials then that are submitted to the board?
No, what I submitted was the latest and the most accurate.
But the form that you filled out.
The form is
incorrect.
Is incorrect.
Okay. So board member Duncan, are you unable to analyze the data at this point?
Yes.
Based on, okay.
Yeah, we can't analyze it because what you submitted contradicts you've submitted separate documents and they contradict each other. There's also at the end, let's see what else. You list as of September 29th, 2016, right? You list your current assets at $36,000.
These were outdated. We sent the new ones in. Here's the new one.
Okay, so
these are the new ones.
So the September 29th, you're saying are incorrect.
They were updated. We sent
and updated the board with the ones that go through December.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So you see the problem with that.
It just says December, but the information in it does not pass. I mean, this says January through December, but in 2016, obviously, this information in QuickBooks does not go past October.
Okay.
Right? It's just a name, title for this report.
Okay.
In January through December.
Okay. So
again, we're at the point where we can't continue to essentially consult with you. So
she'll go back.
Thank you.
He's unable to make the determination of your current financial status based on the financial statement. So we're going to stop discussing them right now.
and move forward with the next item, which would be the new program, which also has deficiencies. And again, I'd like to keep in mind a big concern for us is to be licensed and be running a school. We need to have administrative capability, and if your students were submitting work of this quality, I would have to assume that they would not be passing. So that's basically where we are, is that you're not making sense of progress towards completing your obligation here. So on foreign language, first of all, the program name has some misleading information to it. And again, going back to admissions requirements, we have some difficulties. So first on the name, what exactly is the name of this program? You've listed in a couple of different spots as different things, and it appears it's some sort of an interpreting.
Right. Foreign language translation and interpretation.
So you're saying with a seventh grade education, and so I technically would be an eighth grader, so I've met your minimum requirements, so I'm in eighth grade, I have a seventh grade education, and I would be able to get a job after taking this course as a foreign language interpreter and translator.
Yeah, if you have that second language already, if you do speak another language.
So if you're qualified, or your staff is qualified for how many languages you can teach me, Miss eighth grader here, how to be able to be a translator. How many languages do you speak?
I speak two.
And how about other staff members?
There's one other staff member who speaks another language. So
is that a total of three languages?
Three languages.
So English?
Spanish and German.
Is there anything in any of this that specifies that you can teach just those two?
I believe in the catalog, we did put that in there somewhere.
Catalog is listed as foreign language translation and interpretation, which is different than it's listed several
So articles. Foreign language training, to me, would be that you're going to teach me some foreign language. I don't know which one, but apparently for $1,680 with a 7th grade education and 56 hours, you're going to
teach
me.
You keep saying 7th grade education.
But that's all it says. That's all you're
requiring. Our prerequisite was 7th grade level reading and comprehension. We didn't say education. We never said education.
It says seventh grade education clearly on your thing.
Yes, sir. But when you approved me last year, we went through this, and you accepted that you had a couple of questions about the AIM test, and is it legal to do that? And the board decided, okay, yes, it is okay to use that. Now, we're just gauging to see if the person can read and write or comprehend seventh grade level, so they can read the technical manuals that we teach as Computer Learning Center and comprehend it. We never said,
you never said what the age, so we're going to go on the record saying.
And I'll agree with you, we will add the age, minimum age, you're right, I don't have that.
So
what
is it?
I'm sorry, it's going to have to be 18, but I have to talk to my staff to make sure that is acceptable.
It doesn't have to be 18. We're not telling it has to be 18. We're just saying that you have to have a
minimum age, which I understand that, which makes sense, and it will do it. Okay. But we never said we're going to get eighth grader to do any of these programs. We never said that in any of my literature here.
Based on the way it's worded, you did.
The seventh grade level is reading and comprehension. That's all. Now, if you want me to add that wording to it, I will do that. I'll change education to reading and comprehension.
And David, do you understand that requirement for admission, seventh grade level education? I'm reading it directly.
Yes, sir.
So that makes it sound like an eighth grader can come in and apply for a school with you.
Absolutely right, and okay. I'm with you, and I'm going to add the word reading.
Even if that wasn't your intent, it still reads that way, and that's what we have to look at.
I understand that, sir, okay. And I appreciate you you explaining that to me, and I will go ahead and correct that.
Okay, so I'm assuming that's revised, and mm-hmm. let's say it has to be beyond the age of compulsory education in the state. Perhaps you don't want to require high school diploma or GED, but minimum, you would have some age in there, whatever it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But in the various paperwork you have here, you say it's foreign language training,
mm-hmm.
and then elsewhere it says foreign language
Translation.
Translation, interpretation. So are those two different programs?
No, ma'am.
We started out when we submitted the paperwork, it was foreign language training. The staff here, private post, I believe it was Terry, they sent me an email, said, this name is misleading. I didn't understand why it was misleading, but I went ahead and changed it.
So you don't understand why foreign language training is not a misleading title?
No, I don't.
So I think if I'm going to be getting computer training, if I'm going to be getting coding training, if I'm getting foreign language training, you're training me in a foreign language.
Right.
But if you're not using that word, those words anymore, that's great. So foreign language translation and interpretation. Is there anything in here that says that I need to be fluent in two languages to?
In the catalog for the foreign language training, yes.
I do have a prerequisite for both English and the targeted language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Currently Spanish, German, and Arabic.
There you go. So it's already written in there.
Who's doing Arabic?
I have a staff member that's doing that.
So four languages.
So it's going to be actually four.
So then we're back down to.
And that's on the catalog that's mentioned.
So for this program then, so I now, let's say I'm 18. I can read and write in seventh grade level, assuming you change your wording. So I didn't have to have a high school diploma. I don't have a college degree, but yet the marketing research you're presenting to me is if I have a bachelor's degree, here's how much money I can get. So here I am a student who is maybe 18 years old, hasn't graduated from high school, but I can read and write at seventh grade level. I'm going to read your marketing research summary, and I'm going to think you're telling me that I can get a job at $44,109 a year. But it turns out entry level has a bachelor's degree, which is not a requirement.
Not all entry jobs require a bachelor's degree. It's recommended by some employers, yes, but that's not all the jobs. You can go on Indeed.com right now and get a translator job without a high school diploma.
But is this the information that you're presenting to people?
What's that?
Is this information? Because this is what you presented to us. So we're not supposed to have to go out and do a massive amount of research. You're supposed to give us. So if we were a student,
sure,
and we were looking at this information, what would we go away with the thought of?
Yes.
So I'm going with the thought of, I'm 18 years old, I can read and write at seventh grade level, and the marketing information you're giving me says I could earn $44,190 a year, but then, oh, by the way, that requires a bachelor's degree, which I wasn't required to have to start the course. So I guess what it comes down to is that with your financials, it's hard to follow the thread of exactly what my requirements would need to be to qualify for the programs, qualify for the jobs. And I'm sure that you have heard in the news how much concern there is about proprietary institutions making statements that are misleading to the public. And our role as a board is to protect the public. And so I am concerned that even after all the work that your staff has done to try to help make sure that what you're presenting is not misleading, it is still.
Yeah, we were made last year to put that paragraph in every program in the catalog that to get a job you need to have a bachelor's or college degree is required, high school or college degree required. We put that on all of our programs.
Then if you did that, so if you're telling them to get a job, you have to have a bachelor's degree, but we'll let you take our course and pay our money, and you don't have a prayer of getting a job unless you go to school for 4 years and get a bachelor's degree additionally.
Not all jobs require a college degree. Not all jobs require a college degree.
This was the same argument we had last week, where it was the board position that the admission requirements did not align with the job level. And Mr. David would contend that not all of them require a high school diploma or a bachelor's. So at a minimum, the board had them do that. The fact still remains is those students most likely will not be able to get jobs.
So do you have this chart that you put together here, computer support specialists, hours required to complete 28 hours, annual salary at entry level. So you're saying the 17 or 18 year old that can read and write at seventh grade level takes this course and they can get a $30,000 year job.
Yes, absolutely.
To back this up.
Absolutely. Right here in the Valley, there's like right now at least 200 jobs that will not require that. 200 positions right now, not requiring college. But we put that on it as per request of the board last year. And then the catalog is read by students before they sign up, by the way. So when they sign the enrollment agreement, they cannot sign enrollment agreement unless they read the catalog. So they are aware of both the entry requirement to take the course and the job requirement, minimum job requirement, are given to the potential candidate before they sign up for class. So we're not trying to mislead anybody. Everything is given to the students up front.
So it's four separate things we have here. In Stanfield, we have
first you have the license renewal and the issue that it was late by, let me say it, 11 days, 18, 13, somewhere around that.
So there's a license renewal, then there's a penalty due?
Right.
The penalty was 14 minus the 2 that he paid.
Says the late license renewal fee, $1,400. Received 8-3, wrong app incomplete. Revised application received 9-19. Total 18 days late. Already paid 200. 1600.
Okay,
due.
So 1600 would be due.
So
there's that issue. Then there's the license renewal deficiencies, the financial statement deficiencies, the program deficiencies compared to the database and website, and there is the new program deficiencies for the foreign language translation / interpretation.
Yeah. So should we be addressing each of these separate or just one big?
I think we should do these separately.
And then the change of address.
And the change of location, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll start with the easy one. We'll do the change of location.
Yeah, I make a motion that we approve the change of location application for computer CLC.
Okay, motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? If you move again, make sure that all the proper paperwork obviously is done and timely. So we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. The change location is approved. Next one. Financial statements.
I'm confused because that's how they consider that. So it's not separate part.
It's part of the license.
I think the two things on the board I got are the new vocational program and the license.
It was the new location, the program, and the license. So there were three issues.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
would be part of the license.
Yeah. So in regard to the new vocational program, I make a motion that the conditional regular or that the new vocational program mandate does not meet board standards at this time, and so I'd like to defer action until such time as the deferrals. I mean, the deficiencies are remedied with the board.
Motion, do you have a second?
Okay. No, I was saying a copy of said deficiencies will be given to Mr. Dave.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? We've had a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay, lastly, we make a motion that the conditional to regular program license application does not meet requirements for licensure, and I'd like to postpone action pending submission of different additional information and the board may request other information as necessary.
Which includes accurate financial
statements.
Yes,
I include accurate. The license renewal deficiency repairs, the catalog repairs, the foreign, the financial. Financial statement updates,
program,
the database,
programs.
Programmatic database updates to match.
And
again, I would direct staff to give the noted deficiencies in those areas to Mr. Dave.
Okay.
Are you going to address the Leighton and LP separately?
He was going to bring his fees up to...
Okay, I amend that plus pay the late fees of, did we say 14 or 16?
16.
$1,600.
Can I add anything to that? Or at this point?
No, we just made the motion. Here, second.
Second.
Further discussion, so you're allowed to discuss it at this point.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. When I submitted the application, I was told I got normally the practice is they stamp what you turn in as an application was turned in, that they received my application.
It was received that you walked in that day. You were told it was not correct.
Yes, and I was told to bring the
you
new
said
form.
You bring it back the 15th. It was late. Period.
It was late, and I paid 2 days. Because I was late 2 days turning in the application.
No, you were not late 2 days. You brought in a wrong app with none of the documents.
Okay. So I paid
you did not bring in the renewal with all the documents until the 18th.
The only thing was missing was the cover sheet was different. I turned in my financial. The whole application was there.
Not on the first one. You did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you did not.
The record, I have a... She stamped my application, and she said, this is the wrong, to her credit, she said, this is the wrong cover sheet. I need you to send me another one.
It's not a cover sheet. It's an application. You did not have the catalog. You did not have the enrollment agreement. You did not have your liability insurance. You did not have your bond, and you did not have financial statements. You had the app itself.
The application that
that's the app. That's
that has,
not the renewal
that has
application.
The application that has the financials inside.
It was not in there.
No, the financials are part of the application, Terry.
I know that.
Well, you know that. I'm sorry. But that was turned in. Now, I was
on
told...
On the 18th.
Yeah. I was
14
told,
days later, however many different days later.
If my package wasn't a complete package, I shouldn't have gotten a stamp saying, you just submitted it. We're not going to accept this.
Why not?
We're not going to accept this because it's incomplete or it's wrong. Then I would have came back the next day and paid you that.
The fundamental problem with this is we've been trying to work with you, and I'm trying to work with you even further.
Yes, sir.
But there's an administrative deficiency here that runs deep, and I'm trying to give you every applicable. I mean, I could easily deny you today and just sure. said no, put that up, but I didn't because I want to give you that help. But we are not consultants. We are not... The people, it is your job, hear me, your job to know the regs, understand the regs,
right.
and know what's required. Because what you gave us is not good. Mm-hmm. It's all over the place. I can't follow it. It's got several documents. We can't assess the financial thing. So I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm trying to give you a chance
right,
to
sir.
Do this. But when you come back again, mm-hmm. it better be right. That's all I'm saying. And
well,
it's not our job to make it.
Well, yes, sir. I respect and I appreciate your input on that. Now, the staff looked at my application. Why is it I show up here and I've been told my financials are not matching what's in the application?
Hey, hang on a second.
Your financials. Hang on a second, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
When she stamped it, she was merely saying you turned something in. Given I literally spent 3 hours trying to figure this out before honestly I gave up. It was mm-hmm. it was such a mess.
Right.
I gave up. And I was hoping somebody else was going to be able to figure it out. Turns out, you know what, they couldn't either.
Okay.
And I would say collectively, right here, is over 100 years of experience. Right here, just on the side of the table.
Right.
And we couldn't figure out what you were doing. You can't hand it in to her and expect her to go through and figure out all those things. I literally had to spread out on a huge table trying to match everything up.
Sure.
So the bottom line was, if you have a student who was required to turn in a paper, and they turn in a paper on architecture from some error at your school, would you say, oh, thank you, you submitted the paper, that's so good, good job, we're going to pass you? No, that's what you basically did. You turned in stuff that didn't meet the requirements. You know, the wrong application, got stuff attached. So the fact that you turned some piece of paper into her, mm-hmm. you're not getting any points for that.
Right.
So the bottom line is, turning in nonsense doesn't get you anywhere. By the time you turned in I know you want to say substantially complete, you submitted the right numbers of pieces of paper mm-hmm. on the 18th. So you're only being fined to the 18th. You're not being, that fine isn't even
cover the amount of time Terry spent going through this, trying to make it work, how much time we've all spent trying to make it work. So the bottom line is, you did a poor job on the original application. You came back three times. We then, foolishly now it turns out, granted it, saying, trusting you that you're going to bring it up to par, and you didn't. And then now, a year later, you're submitting it. It's under par. So there's no way we are going to grant you this and say, here's everything that's wrong. We're going to trust you and fix it and go on. We could have denied you. Honestly, that's why I went to executive session, to find out what exactly we should do with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving you a chance, but part of that chance is you're going to pay the fee for turning in the stuff late.
I've already did that, though.
You paid $200.
Yes.
But what you turned in on day two or three or whatever mm-hmm. was still not complete.
I wasn't notified of that, ma'am. What you just said, I was not notified of that because I work 10 minutes away from here. I could have brought her the very next day if she would have told me I've got a money counter going on. I didn't get notified of this until 14 days later.
She told you that day it was incomplete. You said you would bring it back.
Yes.
The 15th, we pulled your file. It still wasn't. It's not our job mm-hmm. to babysit you on the time that you bring your stuff in.
I didn't ask you to babysit me. Okay, I brought in the corrected copy with my moving information. My lease, it happened to be 13 or 14 days later. I did not realize there's a monetary counter on me. I could have brought
it
in.
How long have you been licensed?
I need to be told officially. They didn't have to wait 10 days and tell me, you should have brought it in.
Let's talk, first of all.
Right?
When I asked you earlier if you got help doing this, you stated that you don't need it because you've done it for 10 years. So you basically have told us that you are an experienced school owner.
Absolutely.
You know how to do this.
Right.
Absolutely not. So you know what? We have a motion and a second. The discussion, we have to stop this discussion.
Yeah, but I don't agree with the monetary levy that you're putting on me. I wasn't told that I need to bring it in the next day. I could have brought in the original form.
You could have fixed all the stuff that's wrong with it. You're saying you could fix it by the next day. If you couldn't, why didn't you do it right
first? Well, from my experience with the board, I can fix everything that you want me to fix. I'm going to come in next year, and you're going to have me change everything you told me to do. And that's been the trend here with this school. I don't know what is going on, but everything you just told me here, this was approved by last year. This was approved last year, and I took the same documents. Now I'm getting the same things that you told me with the Ames test. You told me it was okay last year. Now I got
to
change it.
No, we didn't ask you to change the Ames test. So
you told me it was okay.
No,
I got approved.
Stop.
Yes, see, what you're saying there just proves to me you don't take responsibility.
No, you don't.
You said we changed it. This is a public meeting,
okay.
Public law.
Absolutely.
All the standards are public.
Sure.
It's not my job to teach you how to interpret the standards.
I didn't ask for
it. No, but you're saying, you're trying to allege some agenda against your school.
Well, no, this particular point was agreed upon,
but sir,
and now you're changing it.
No, we never changed it.
What happened was he merely asked you for a refresher, so it's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
We've had many meetings. Many schools have come before us.
Okay.
The requirement has changed, right? No, sir, stop.
Mm-hmm.
We did not recall, you are the only school we've ever had come before us using a 7th grade Ames test as mm-hmm. a standard admission.
Right.
We simply didn't remember what was the conclusion last year. The question was asked and answered, and we moved on from it. That's not what we're objecting to. We're objecting to the fact that your admissions requirement, all it says is you have to have a 7th grade education. I understand you think that's not what it says, but he read it verbatim.
Sure.
Your admission statement says you have to have 7th grade education.
Right.
That's what we're objecting to.
Right.
So you trying to turn around now and say we object to the Ames test, that was merely a question in passing. Your admission standard is not up to par. Your old packet wasn't up to par. Your financial statements couldn't be followed. So you know what? Right now, honestly, I'm wishing we'd made a movement to just deny your application.
Mm-hmm.
So we are giving you another chance. Take it or not.
And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that you're giving me another chance. And I've always been willing to correct whenever the staff tell me I need to correct things. And I'm very proactive doing that. But when you come in with the monetary, when you come in with the monetary penalty,
she's saying that we have an option.
You haven't voted. They can withdraw the motion.
But all I'm opposing to is the monetary fund.
You were late.
I was late 2 days and I paid
you
for it.
Late.
That's all I'm going to agree
to. Okay, sir. The motion is that we are going to postpone it and give you an opportunity to resubmit a accurate,
complete,
no not being able to line things up. Your financials have to make sense. Your application has to make sense. You need to use the right forms. You need to tie it out correctly. And you need to pay the fee for having turned in this late. If you don't want to do that, that's your choice. That is what the motion we put before you. So end of the discussion.
What is my recourse?
End of discussion at this point.
What is my recourse?
Sir?
Mm-hmm.
Do we go forward with the vote or?
You go forward with the vote.
Okay. So the motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. It is postponed. You have an opportunity to represent in January in addition to paying the fee.
What is my recourse? I don't agree with your decision.
I understand that you don't, but...
What's my recourse?
That's not part of this board meeting right now.
Well, so. You're the board. You tell me. What's my next step here? I don't agree with your decision right now.
Go to the law and read what your recourse is.
What's that?
Go read the statutes and rules to see what your recourse is. Mm-hmm. We are not here to advise you on what your
recourse is. Don't you have a legal person in yet?
She's not yours.
I'm not your lawyer, sir.
She's our lawyer.
Okay. So she can't even tell me what my next step is.
Just no, sir. The board issued you an order. You have a choice of whether or not you want to follow that order. Mm-hmm. They put a motion. You have a choice of whether or not you want to file a new application or follow through and fix your deficiencies and pay the fee or not.
Okay. I need to read the law, find out what my recourse is, because I don't believe in... I paid my late fees, and then if you want to add additional days to it, I don't agree with that.
Okay, sir, if you would please take us into our next board of business. Let's all take a collective breath, right?
And,
yeah, can we take a five-minute break?
5 minutes.
Can you put the phone out for 5 minutes, right?
Should I pause?
Meet the folks from
5:55. 2:55.
Eastern time.
Central. Hey, Central.
We're done. Central. We're done.
Congratulations.
Where are we?
We're on the regular normal.
All right.
I gotta get
out of here. And let's just say we would like the rest of the afternoon to have something for the rest of the day. So, the next order of the agenda, conditional non-accredited vocation program license applications for Coder Camps.
Thank you.
I'll tell him you told me to tell him.
So they don't fire us.
Get non.
That's what I said. I said get her out of hot water for
it. Call. You want to call her? It doesn't matter. It'd probably be better than you gave me the answer record.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
You're little.
I know. I'm like so much better. We're a little nervous to be here right now.
I understand why that's the case.
Curious to hear any time.
It's better to follow that.
We just take a fair and even approach, and we actually mean that.
There's four of them now instead of just one, so.
We can do it.
You have.
Yeah, we have 100 years. I don't know why I do that.
The stuff they sent
me. Now 258.
Now 258. All right, Ms. Stanfield.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. Coder for Rent, doing business as Coder Camps, is seeking a non-accredited vocational program license to offer two parent program boot camps in full-stack Java, .NET, and JavaScript. There's probably more words to it. Coder Camps is licensed in Texas. The application is also pending in California, and the license in Texas is in good standing. They did post, for the record, a $50,000 letter credit.
Sure.
And representing, I will let them say who's representing themselves. Your board member lead is Mr. Jacob.
Okay. Would you all state your names for the record?
Shelley Markey.
Chris Coleman.
David Wings.
Jonathan Crowley.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for signing the day
with us. Yeah, very, very clean report. Very nice presentation. So you did well.
Thank you.
So tell us about Coder Camp and what you want to do here in the Valley.
Sure. So Coder Camps, we offer programs to train students on software development, software engineering skills. Our approach basically covers the foundational computer science theory and algorithms. So we try and take a deep approach to the theory behind it, as well as a practical approach to modern skills and technologies that are in demand. So we acknowledge that technologies are constantly changing. We want to make sure that our students are prepared and that we have curriculum that's constantly being modified and prepared to ensure that they have the skills that are in demand by employers today.
Okay.
You mentioned that we've been doing business in Texas, and we're excited to bring that business, bring our operational headquarters to Texas.
And so you have programs being offered now in Texas?
Correct.
Tell us about that. How many students?
Yeah, so
it's in operation?
Yeah, so I'll talk a little bit about the offering, and we'll have David kind of cover the numbers. Basically, we take a full-stack web development approach, right? So we cover from the database out to front-end development, and our goal there is to ensure that our students get a broad exposure to the entire spectrum of software application development. And we specifically target web development because it's kind of the easiest entry point into software development, and that's mainly because there's less risk there, right? So entry-level developers is kind of what we're targeting. And you typically don't want them playing with your data as much as you do kind of the styling of your applications. And so that's our focus with it. We've had a lot of success in the other states.
Yeah, so as Terry mentioned, we're fully licensed and approved in Texas, so we're offering the .NET and JavaScript courses today, and we have 67 active students.
Okay. Well, as I said, it's a very, very clean report presentation. What you heard from the last applicant, we're very concerned about transparency and making sure we're accurately providing the correct information, not misleading information to students. So if I look at section one here, your executive summary, you mentioned in the first paragraph, the career potential for boot camp graduates is $75,695. And you cited a boot camp's outcomes demographic report. That's great. Now, when I go to the finding here, your actual advertisement, I'm going to find it. Here it is. The sample advertisement you have, you do the same thing. You mention boot camp grads average 76K, but you don't cite anything as far as where you got that statistic. And that's actually something that's probably going to be public facing. So, unless I missed it, you really shouldn't cite where you got that statistic from.
Yeah, and maybe it cut off here. I know on all all of our new program marketing materials, we do cite the same course report. I can go back and double check that, but we do cite that on everything.
Very good. All right. Right. So as I said, I don't have a lot of things, but there's a couple. Under section 9, the student grievance, page 1 of that section. You have an informal process here, and you have a formal process. Your informal process seems very formal. So I'm just wondering, it's pretty detailed. And then you have a formal process right after that where it's, you know, the informal process talks about trying to resolve it yourself, and then 10 business needs they haven't reached, they go to the discuss with the department director, chairperson. If that's not solved, then it's not resolved in 10 days, then it goes to student affairs. And then if that's not resolved, then they go to a formal grievance process. So I guess I'm wondering if you just have one procedure.
Is that the deal? You want to have this informal so you can say statistically, nobody got this far?
Well, this has been through several iterations.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I think their goal is to create as much communication between the student and the issue with the staff or the instructor to try to get immediate resolution for that student. And in the event that they do not have or feel that we've given them immediate resolution, they can then go to a very formal process. But we wanted to make every attempt to resolve as early as possible with the student.
Does that mean that, so if they choose not to go through that informal process, can they go right to the formal?
They can go right to formal.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Any other questions on that? In section 12, this is just something small, but on page 7, you offer classes on weekends, right, on Saturday? Nights and weekends. Right. So when you talk about school hours of operation, you're saying it's just Monday through Friday, so you might want to change that.
Yeah, good catch. So.
And then on the next page, under the HERO scholarship, application procedure, any verification, question mark. What does that mean?
I think this was, and we have a more recent version of this, is I think when we initially submitted it, the question that I think Terry had submitted was, are we requiring any verification of a military, police, fire, teacher? And yes, we are collecting documentation.
All right. Okay. And then back in Section 21. You're on your proposed calendar starts for the Scottsdale campus.
Yep.
10/31/5 starts.
Not
going
to happen.
Not going to happen. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. It's like, wow, that's pretty grandpa.
Monday.
And then, and so on the next page, your 2017. What are you basing those start numbers off of?
I'll take this one. We erred on the side of conservatism, and this being a new facility for us, and in our brand's not really well known in the state of Arizona, we wanted to scale back our projections as much as possible. So it was really taking a percentage of what we think that we can do as an overall business and then allocating a certain percentage to Arizona on a conservative approach.
Okay. Last page, placements. You have on your waiver. What are you basing? What's your waiver conditions?
Right now we're doing medical waivers, military waivers. I believe there's one more. I can't remember.
Incarceration.
Prior continuing education. Military deployment occurred. Continuing education.
All right. Those are the questions I have.
Okay.
Going for the enrollment agreement or? He's good at that. He's very good at those.
One enrollment agreement, one catalog. Yes, I'll be on the good news is, it's extremely minor, and I don't think people are going to argue the point with me.
So. Understand.
Deal.
Trust me, we all. Wait for any now.
Not now.
My Rhode Island accent is curved. That's an indication of something.
Yeah, I'm moving.
I'm enrollment agreement. Page, you know, X of X, so that when they're signing on the last page, it's just very clear how many pages you're in the agreement.
Okay.
So if you just had that, that would be great. And that is my only comment on the agreement.
Yeah.
On the catalog, there's certain terminology that schools use that when other people read it, it means something to them, and so it behooves you not to use words purposed differently for schools. So on page 7, under 2016 beginning and ending dates of terms, you then list the programs, and then you say Coder Camp start a new class every 3 weeks subject to availability of instructors and program interest. So you're saying they're dates of terms, which would make me think that it is a term-based program, but based on the length of it, it's not. So I would not use beginning and ending dates of the course, of the program, whatever you want. Just don't use the word term.
Can you use cohort? Or?
Yeah, I think cohort would be fine. Okay. Just the word term just means something like a semester or a trimester, and that's not what you're doing, so it would just be confusing. And then if you have them pretty much every 3 weeks, is it starting on a certain time? If you have one here and then you don't have enough interest, would you do it on like a fifth week and there's literally every 3 weeks?
We want it fixed every 3 weeks. It's just we're waiting for approval to put a finalized calendar out there.
That's really it. I just want to make sure people know when it is that you'd start. And like, I don't know if I get to pick my 3 week. I don't know. Yeah. So just be a little clearer, and that's it.
Agreed.
Okay.
I just have one question on the catalog of the leave of absence. It doesn't say the length of the leave of absence. Am I missing that?
So the way we drafted the most recent version of the LOA is that a student can elect to take an LOA and then come back the next time we're offering that class. They can restart the whole class if they want, because it's a really short program, and they want to catch up on the other weeks they can, or they can return at the point that they left the course.
I guess it's different because the way your programs are, but I guess I was looking for a maximum. If I'm a student, I go on an LOA, can I be out 2 years, a year?
Right.
I mean, the federal rate's 180, but you know, 180 days, but you're not Title IV.
I think we had discussed not more than two LOAs in a 12-month span.
It's not. It says leave absence. Accordingly, may be granted leave absence to attorney, military, medical, death, immediate family, family. The leave absence may be submitted, blah, blah, with statement indicating the reasons for. Code of Camp has 10 business days to determine the LOA. If the student is granted the LOA, he will be, would be terminated once. It doesn't say anything.
So put an end date on that or a period of time.
I would just say the maximum time frame of an LOA can be X long. Okay. And I would add that to it just to do it. Are you?
I'm looking at you. You want the leave to be good for you and them, right? So life gets in the way. And so if they need to stop out to do something, and your hope is probably to come back in the next 3 week thing, but what if it was 2 years? So make sure whatever you put here, you really want to live with. So don't say it's limited to 30 days if really it's okay with you if it's 2 months or something. If you're going to say two within 12 months, which is kind of like an industry norm, but then they also would have some period. Like they may say no more than 30 days, and more than 180 days, and more than two. So firm it up a bit, but don't firm it up so much that you end up having to withdraw someone that you really wouldn't want to withdraw. And you said verbally that you might allow students to come back. So I leave after at this point, and then there's another 3 week starting, and you're okay to let me start back at the beginning. If you say that students can do it, I might not be so good at it, and I've gone along, and I'm like one day shy of finishing it. I'm going to ask for a leave because I didn't get it. And so now for free, I can come back and repeat the entire thing because if it said that saying, I could repeat it. So if you said something like, generally the student would resume at the same place that they left, that leaves a little open for you that you could allow them to come in and say, I'll just repeat this overlap. But then if you do that, if he and I both take a leave and you let him come back and repeat and you don't let me, then you can be before the complaint committee and you really don't want to be. They what you just saw earlier, picture that when it's a student complaint.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
We're on a complaint.
It's us three.
So. Enough said about that.
That was the only question I have, and that looked great.
And it could be because you did this in Texas, maybe you worked all the bugs out there, but you did a really good job.
Well, TWC is a
straight job.
They're particular.
Yeah,
indeed
they are.
Okay. Any other
questions?
My
man does have one question.
Nope.
Good job.
Let's move what we can. All right.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the conditional vocational program license application with the stipulation that a $52,500 surety bond be posted, and they make the recommended changes to the enrollment agreement.
I'll clarify, they have a $50,000 bond already. I missed that's what they're here.
So it's only $50,000.
I have administrative capability.
$50,000 surety bond, correction.
So you heard a motion to second. We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? The motion carries. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Arizona.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Board. Have a great day.
See how meditation works.
Programs with a great program. Yeah, Jason. He's still in there.
The next item on the agenda.
the conditional non-accredited vocational program license application of Institute for Applied Meditation.
I feel better already.
Coming straight from our hearts.
The eighth grader that wants to go to college is very intrigued. Okay, I am the lead. So please introduce yourselves.
My name is Steve Olson. I'm chair of the board.
I'm Christine Olson,
board member.
Board member, mentor, and teacher.
And I'm Dee O'Neill, board member and preparer of this marvelous document.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Well, you want my honest opinion, or should I be?
Yeah, we'll just.
Actually, I would like to say before we get involved in your questions that I would very much like to commend your staff, especially Terry, for her assistance in doing this. And I appreciated everything she helped me add to, make it better for you, meet whatever I was missing. So yeah, I would like you all
well
to know.
Thank you, Terry. See, not everybody dislikes you.
That's not the person.
Some girls hardly anybody.
Only Mr. David.
There's a few other problems.
And we got to take a break, and we were fed. You should see it when it's 4 o'clock.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have been down.
Okay. So, I'm not very familiar with your program, this type of program, but I did my best to go through. So I was trying to understand, like, the whole mode of delivery, and if I were, the consumer going and reading all this, would I know what you're selling me when I'm buying. So in Section 8.
Section 8, okay.
Section 8. It's in the program part. These are not numbered, but I will help you get there.
Do you want to go on the closest screen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Question 2.
It's Section A, certificate of graduation as a something human.
Percolia. I had that finally, didn't I? Percolia.
Percolia
human.
Okay. It's like she calls you.
I had it.
The fourth page in here. And let's say number 2 is a brief description of each course listed in the vocational program outline. So, do you know what?
Number 2?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Then it says .404, practicum description.
Yes.
So it says, the practicum is hands-on training, which begins with 12 months of supervised sessions the students offer to practice clients. What does that mean?
What that means is we went through six months now by education over the internet. All the students were grouped into small groups. There was a teacher for each group, and so they got basic educational background on healing. And then just in August, we had a 2-week hands-on practical experience where the students worked on each other, gaining practical experience. After that, we broke up into 3 or 4 groups with a teacher, and what will happen is they will have clients, they will participate in healings with the client, and then they will come back at the end of the week, and as a group we discuss how it was managed and what kinds of things we recommend. And so it's a very methodical, step-by-step educational process. And it will culminate at the end of 18 months with another practical session where performance standards will be presented.
Okay, so this is hands-on training that is done online.
The academic portion is developed and presented online. The hands-on training is done at the two-week residencies where we are all together. And the hands-on is also each student will have a number of clients that have volunteered to be their clients, and they will do healings, and then that will be presented weekly to the teachers.
So I guess that my part I'm struggling with is a hands-on training feels like, you know, like a physical thing that begins with, so that seems to me as part of this hands-on training, includes this 12 months of supervised sessions that students offer to practice clients. So the hands-on training part is I'm on the student, I'm doing it with clients, but the instructor is not there.
Correct.
And it's a little outside of my experience of wishing for Casey to be here. And maybe people who are in this would know just what that means, but hands-on training sounds like somebody is doing it with me and doing, you know, a session online and getting my own clients who come to have me do it. Doesn't sound like hands-on training, it sounds like hands-on practice. So I'm just a little bit hung up on the words and trying to decide if you're misleading me unintentionally.
Sure.
No, we're not misleading you intentionally, and we'd be more than happy to reword it.
If you could, so I would be stuck on that. Would be so nice.
Dr. Mint, do you?
The hands-on portion is...
I'm asking.
And I see what you're saying, yes. The hands-on portion is what happens when the group is all together and they're actually doing the energetic healing, which is a form of healing using the heart's energy.
So this reverse, and it said, after 12 months of supervised sessions, the students begin on hands-on. I mean, I just want to make sure that someone who read this knows what it is that we're doing.
Okay, no, Madam Chair, I think what we consider hands-on is like we're actually, you know, hands-on training. We actually are using our hands to help, and we're working with clients. That's hands-on. And then does that answer your question?
Well, it's just that hands-on training helping put together this notebook, and he's working with me putting together this notebook. Like he's hands-on where we're doing it together, right. Like a lab, you know? That's like
so
hands-on,
it's
or I'm doing
it, hands-on.
You're
supervising
me. It's the hands-on part that, so like hands-on on an online thing, I'm like,
okay.
I think the other part of the question is, are students interacting with clients prior to the residential portion?
No,
they were not.
So I think that was the hang up for me, was that students go through the entire didactic portion of the training and they are not working with clients or practicing on other people until they come to the residential portion.
That's correct.
Okay, so if you could make this say that, that would be so good.
We would be more than happy to.
Keep your preparation. On the next page, and the next time, page numbers would be awesome.
Okay.
But the very next page, two again, submit a brief description of each course listed in the vocational programs outline form, and it says, what are the requirements for admission? And I understand that this is a little more ethereal, perhaps, than the coders. But an interest in healing by non-physical means, either for oneself or others.
I'm sorry, but I'm having trouble finding you.
It was the very next page after the page we were just on.
Number 7, number 8, number 9.
It says 1-2. So I'm in section 8. The first page was the program course study form. The next page was handwritten.
Right.
And the next page starts with 1-2.
Yes.
And then it has 401, 402.
401, which is what I was questioning, was the 401.
So are you with the? Are you back to the 401 or 402?
I don't know. All I know is the very next page in this book.
Before or after?
After.
So now maybe I've got them in the wrong order for you.
Here, Tristan, be short real quick. Save me some time. Frustration.
Yeah, get frustrated.
Well, I may just have my book. Not the same as yours.
Complete a vocational program for me.
Yeah.
Oh, your numbering is different, though. You're missing 3.
So you have an extra page you want to show us? Is this something you want me to see?
No, you're welcome to see my other page.
Nice places. So again, keeping in mind that as a consumer protection, we're always trying to figure out what the students might think it is that you're saying and what complaint might they have to come before the complaint committee, which we don't want to see them, right? So it says an interest in healing by non-physical means, either for oneself or others. How is that like a verbal that I just say I'm into that and you say okay?
I don't understand.
How do you measure that? You're just saying, what are the requirements for admission?
Yeah, probably because they've said they're interested, and most of the people who get involved with us have also been in our other programs, some of our other programs, like the Institute for Applied Meditations, two-year program in meditation.
So you're not really, like, you're not evaluating if they have an interest. They're basically saying, I have an interest.
Yes.
The ability to use learning management system software, how do you sit in front of a computer and ask them to do something? Do you ask them?
We either do that or we talk on the phone with them and teach them how.
Ability to operate video conference software. Again, how do you evaluate that?
That's a part of the learning management system, and it's in our online program.
English, there we go. English language fluency. How do you determine that?
Everything's in English and they can understand it.
I'm going to stop there before I go to the rest of these. All of those are things that are a little bit more, you're not taking a test for it or anything, so it might behoove you, you're saying that it's a requirement. I don't know, I guess I'm just worried about how the wording is to, if they have to tell you that they have this, you're not going to judge it. And a lot of times admissions requirement is
a preference, you know, you have, maybe?
Pardon?
It's a preference or it's a
expectation.
Or to be successful, these would be needed. Something. I'm just worried that you're saying it's a requirement for admission, which makes me think it's something that you're going to test against. And I'm going
to
document
the
file. Yes, they have an interest in
helpful.
Healing.
I didn't, it would be helpful.
Now, here's the one that really got me. And you know how excited I was about finding out I could go to other college with a seventh grade education and be in eighth grade.
I'm going to hide under the table.
College degree or equivalent, or I can just be 21. That's a really big difference. And is that okay? So if I quit school at 15 because I could go to that other school, so I went to that other school. Now I want to go to your school, so I don't have a high school diploma. I'm 21 years old. I don't have a GED, no high school diploma. I'm fluent in English, but I'm at least reading a seventh grade level because that's been determined. Really, you'll just let me come? Like you don't want me to be a high school graduate or have a GED? I don't know. That seems so broad. I know when you apply for a job, it says college degree or equivalent, and I can prove I've been managing for 50 years. Not really me, but to prove the equivalent. But that's wow. So we all apply, and we're 21, and you can't say anything about it because we meet the criteria because we're 21.
We'd probably take you.
You would? Okay.
Probably would.
So how about if I have a college degree and I'm not 21? So I'm 20 years old.
It says or over.
Exactly. So if I have
a college degree
and I'm 18, I'm Doogie Howser, so I'm 18, I have a high school diploma, I'm good to go?
They're all ors.
So you don't care how old I am. You don't care what my education is. I just have to have one of these things.
We want you to be able to get in touch with your heart.
Oh, well, I need to get a job. That's good, but okay, so no minimum education. You sure?
Well, I don't imagine we would take your eighth grader, but if they were really interested,
I'm
not sure they would.
Okay, so just so you know, if you get in front of the complaint committee because some person came in who's 21 years old and they felt they had English proficient and you said they could come in, you're going to have some explaining to do. Is you don't have any grounds to not let that person in. So if you want to have grounds to not let them in, you need to say something.
Okay, so too broad.
Okay. On the next page, you may have already answered this. We would find our own clients, so if we're all the students, we would go and find our own people that are willing to let us practice on them, so there isn't any place that, like if you go to cosmetology school, you get your aunts and uncles to come in, but then also people come in off the street. This is all we get our own people that are willing. In your own home or a place that they provide, do you have any?
Could you tell me what number you're on? Because
seven.
Number seven? Okay, great. Thank you.
7D, but it's on to the next page.
Okay.
It's not applicable as there's no internship or externship.
Right.
Each student is required to conduct 50 healing sessions with at least 5 clients for a period of 11 months in their own home or other place that they provide. I'm just curious, do you make any requirements of what would be like a safe environment?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've been one of the involved in one of the clients.
Okay. Each session must be recorded in an online form, and the forms are reviewed weekly by the teacher. So, first course I read that I thought that you were like recording the spiritual thing going on. Apparently, it's just I'm documenting it on an online form. Number 8. Are you able to back up this statement? Practitioners would operate under the same exemption as Catholic priests who were designated healers by the church.
I did have.
Yeah, me neither.
What exemption?
Well, actually, I think we probably could. And the reason was that we kept being encouraged to use the religious exemption.
Okay, so
how we didn't
could
really want to do that because that puts us in a box. You know, when you hear the word religion and it's different than if you hear the word spiritual sometimes, and our emphasis just doesn't fall in that category.
So what if it's a rabbi? That's not good enough for you? Study Catholic?
A rabbi?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, okay. If that's my, yes.
I actually don't
absolutely
know what the legal requirements would be. I'm a little punched out. Just make sure anything that you say,
we can say, Catholic.
You have to be a back
spiritual
it up.
Spiritual.
But if you even say in this Catholic, that means that you can point to some legal document that will explain to our lawyer here exactly what that exemption is, a Catholic priest who are designated as healers by the church. We need to show her the piece of paper that legally says that, so if a student comes and complains, she can help us interpret whether you did it right or not. So if you can't back that up for real, then please don't have it there.
Okay.
And would operate might be different than could operate, may operate, for example, whatever, but you're saying it's would, and so therefore I'm expecting there is some law written somewhere that I could look at to understand exactly what that is. And so here I will rely on my colleague here who knows more about these things than I do. And number 9, it says, the Institute's founders, directors, and teachers are confident that our curriculum is the most comprehensive and effective curriculum in energy healing available anywhere.
Contrary.
Can you back that up?
Well, we think we can, but maybe we don't have it, though.
I think I can play the piano until I sit in front of it.
That's right.
Okay.
But I appreciate your confidence in yourself.
Thank you.
On the next page, this is the last paragraph of number 10. Our graduates will be able to support themselves by accepting donations for their healing work. So first of all, you're making an affirmative statement. They will. So if they can't, there before the committee, and accepting donations, that feels tax-free to me. So is that really what this is? These people can get donations and it's not earnings?
No, I think they would be earnings.
Okay. Well, so the wording here sounds that first you're guaranteeing they will be able to support themselves, and my level of support and his may not be the same. And donations does not sound like earnings, so I think that would mislead them. So please change that.
Could you actually elaborate a little bit on that? Because I think if I could just interject, you know, the question that comes up for me around that phrase is this a program in sort of self healing or self awareness, as you describe in many sections, or is the person being certified as a healer who would be seeing clients or patients?
I believe that the current group falls in both of those categories. I think a number of students came to the program for self-healing and also just for growth and learning through the program. And then there is a second group who are actually practicing healers in other modalities, and their intention is to take these healing techniques and add them to their just their repertoire. Thank you. So I believe it's two.
An admissions requirement, you sort of have two different categories of students. You have students who can come in who meet all of the criteria that you outlined, 21 years old or college degree, et cetera, et cetera. For the categories for self awareness, self fulfillment, the second category that you described is someone who has some kind of other degree to be able to do that and to be able to earn a living by by seeing clients, seeing patients, etc. I do not believe that there would be a license, a separate license for this without one of those other existing licenses. Right? So somebody would have to be, could be a massage therapist, could be, as you listed there, it could be an acupuncturist, could be a naturopathic doctor, could be a medical doctor, could be an osteopath. But I think what comes up is it misleading to a person who would be coming into this program without any other first profession with the expectation that they will be a healer in the sense that they are going to earn a living doing the work. And how do you articulate that so that people can understand that there's intrinsic value in doing the program, but from a vocational standpoint, they shouldn't be misled that if I do this, I will be able to, whether you change it from donations to charge fees, et cetera. I think that it would probably, in Arizona, it would run afoul of a whole list of licensing boards that currently license any of the health professions. And so I think you'd have to kind of make that distinction. That makes sense.
So it's sort of like the other deal with the guy who said that you could earn this amount of money if you had a bachelor's degree, but he didn't require a bachelor's degree to come in. So is this like
that's
this?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So the statement about that we'll be able to support themselves, really, their whole background is going to be part of what goes forward here. So if I graduated from high school and didn't do any further education, I just turned 21 and I go, and then he's a doctor, and he takes it, we're not going to be making the same thing, obviously. And again, from the consumer's point, we just want to make sure that people understand that if they take just you, because that's all you're selling is your program, right? So if your entrance requirements don't require me to have any background, anything else, and I'm just taking this, you have to make sure that when you're telling them what they're going to be earning, it really is contingent on what else they're bringing to the table with them.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
I got that right?
No, thanks. Sorry for interrupting.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything through section 8 before I keep on going? I should probably ask everyone.
Did you get to the
to your moment?
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Section 9.
I'm not there yet.
The grievance policy?
Yeah.
This is another one, like the last school that has informal and the formal. Mm-hmm. And after hearing the other school answer it, it's probably the same thing as you're hoping they're going to work it out before it becomes a bigger deal. Would they have to do the informal before they can do the formal?
Actually, from your previous group, the camps, people that were here, I added if you choose not to use the informal procedure, you can go directly to the formal procedure.
Good job. See, it was worth hanging out.
Absolutely.
People are.
I may not get it right, but I'm not real slow on her, totally.
Well, actually, she puts applications like this at the bottom, so they will hear all the comments of the other schools going through, and the hope that it will be a learning experience. It's not always as entertaining as it was today, but it is supposed to be a learning experience. In the formal procedure, you have agreement shall have up to 2 years submit a written grievance.
Why was the rule?
Because that's the rule.
So they have 2 years to come to us, but they have 2 years to go to them.
That's how the rule reads.
That's the way I've always read it. They have up to 2 years of leaving that institution to file a complaint.
With us.
But yeah, with them too.
So they could file it 2 years with them. They warned the clock started running out. They can't do it with us.
It hasn't happened.
I haven't seen that either. From a school standpoint, it can be 30 days.
Yeah,
15 days.
So you have to file this within 30 days. We used to do that all the time. Almost every application we see.
They usually say try to contact you.
I've also said you have up to 2 years. So
there's just two. This time, there's two, and we all picked up on it and said, wow, 2 years.
We don't see that.
Well, I had 30 days in there originally, and that's why.
But then that precludes.
I think at the institutional level, they want the student to respond to them within like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 days.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I know, but the 2 year thing comes in with us, not so much what their policy is.
But they could also, they're saying they can't accept a complaint from them after, let's say, 30 days. No, I'm saying, yes, they can.
But that would complete their
I understand that. They have up to two years. I don't know. I need to have Frankie look at it, because that's not how
We're not going to require you to change your year. We'll get more feedback. But one thought would be, you want to encourage them to do it promptly.
This is a nightmare.
People that have been gone for a year and now they're going to get a hold of you and all of a sudden say,
well, I'm going to go back to 30 days unless you let me know that that it has to be the other way.
I mean, we might have to force you if they come back here. Then they would have.
And even if you set a 30-day limit, you will have people coming 5 years later with
a 60-day limit.
And you want to address it. You still want to address it. Yeah.
And if you want to do it, you could say, Jen, I encourage you within 30 days and no more than 2 years or something, but You want to encourage them to do it sooner than later while it's fresh and everyone's dying.
Yeah, because otherwise nobody remembers.
Well, hopefully your campus database will remember.
In the 30 years we've been operating, our other programs, we have never had a complaint that we couldn't resolve.
That's great to hear. So we won't have to see you.
No, you won't.
Section 10, the cancellation and refunds. Oh, she said you fixed that. Oh, I know. The question that I have, this is not part of the refund policy.
I'm missing my 10. Can I come and look at what you're talking about?
Just as the cancellation and refund policy. That said 200 here, but it said 100 here, but she said she won't talk to you about that part, so that part's fine. But this part is based on the program, which is certainly allowable, but I'm just wondering if that is actually your intention. You have an 18-month program, and based on this, after the student's completed 9 months, you're going to charge them 100% of the entire program. Usually schools choose to do it in smaller buckets rather than doing an entire 18 months as a denominator. And this is technically accurate. This meets the state requirements. But that's a lot of people to pay to only do 9 months out of, 9 months in a day out of 18 months and charge 100%. Okay. I want to look at on the first front page of the newspaper. This school worked out. So just think about it. I'm not requiring you to change it, but just think about whether you want to do it. And depending on if you have some sort of modules or courses planned, how your program goes. Like some of the people here earlier, they had like a semester and the student took one or two courses and they did the refund policy on the individual courses.
At the end of 12 months, they would have had everything except the practical. Because the first year is basically the didactic, face-to-face, online learning.
So might not think you've done about it through the first 12 months and then the other. You don't have to change. This meets the requirements. I just don't think that it's very fair.
Okay.
We'll
consider your questions and comments.
So I can't make you change it, but I'd like you to.
I've been pretty amenable so far.
Now we're at the enrollment agreement.
Just real quick, on your formal procedure for grievance, you mentioned an ombudsman. Who is the ombudsman in your org chart? That label's not on anybody's.
We got rid of him, did we?
Well, I couldn't figure out how to get rid of him.
We got rid of him.
Who acts as our ombudsman? Do you? At this point, we don't have one. Well, we'll have to go back and redo that one then. Okay. Let me go back to that one where you were.
Formal procedure. Section B, formal procedure, number 3.
Well, realistically, how that probably functions is the founders of the organization would do that.
Or possibly student services person.
Sure. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah, we need somebody else besides the founders. All right. Thank you.
Right, you'll want to be able to progress the issue up to the chancellor, to the dean, to the president. Excuse me.
And you were talking about the grievance policy at this point, but it's going to be the same in the enrollment agreement.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
She gets it. She's going to change. She gets where I'm coming from, so when she gets where you're coming
from. All right. Yeah, my only problem with that is we're never been consistent because most of everything I see are 30 days, 2 months. I mean, they're time frame that way in almost every application. It's just that's why this is sticking out to us.
Well, because usually,
well, just real quick, Frankie, one of the things is if they filed at school 2 years, that means they couldn't get it to us also within 2 years.
Depending on their last date of attendance.
Right. So if they do it within 2 years, last date of attendance to them. They've missed the window to do it to us because
that way.
So however that
I almost think that it's completely separate.
Yes.
But then that
but then
I think it's completely separate, but then that almost allows a student to completely bypass the school grievance procedure.
Yeah, and that is a requirement to file
exhausting.
But they're no longer a student.
So I just need to find out whether or not filing a grievance with the school is still considered exhausting the grievance procedure.
Can a member of the audience who's appears to know the answer assist us?
I've written that girl. I believe we set the timer on last day attendance or completing the school.
Is it or?
Yeah, almost positive. We have the
spot. Is it written for sure in there?
Or
is that just in the intent?
My memory is not perfect, but we have the discussion. I remember modifying it.
I remember having a discussion, but I don't remember what the outcome was.
I'm pretty sure we landed on that board, because we knew that school staff procedures had tied it out too long. We didn't want a bunch of students.
Well, we're happy to put in whatever you all will let us know we need to put in.
No.
If that's acceptable.
Okay, now the enrollment agreement.
You, Jason, that completed the licensee's grievance procedure. Including all appeals. You're so smart. It's in the new draft of the rules that went into effect in July. Is able to demonstrate that licensee
for 2 years. Last day completed.
So last date of attendance or the last date of grievance procedure, including all appeals, or
that. So that means
so you have three options.
Could you give me that rule number?
4038.
It's R4-39-4038.
So the student can file a complaint at the school for up to 2 years. Jason, the way we have it then, it says the student can file the complaint within 2 years after the latest of the following. Last date of attendance or completed the license grievance procedure, including all appeals. So up to 2 years
after
his last date.
So I think,
or it's however long, because we knew that students may already be out and have a complaint to the school, and the school's process back and forth may take a long time. And we also knew it people that are already licensed.
Oh, this is an and, isn't it?
The idea was.
I don't think it's an and.
It's an or.
We don't have
But now I'm wondering.
I don't know.
I don't think the school can have a lesser.
A greater.
A lesser.
Time period
than the state.
See, that's the way I read it.
But schools would have to change.
We have to look in the.
Yeah, I think we need to look at Mark. I seriously think that this.
Because this protects. The way this is written, it protects the student, or it protects, allows the board to maintain jurisdiction at least in case the case against the school takes too long. But this doesn't say anything about the school's grievance procedure if it's too short and the student doesn't have. Well, I guess, you know, if you have a 30-day policy. Because under option three, if the student is able to demonstrate that the school failed to follow its grievance procedure.
If they have 30 days.
And if 30 days is too short and they weren't, you know, they didn't jump on the investigation or they can show that.
We'll have to get back to you.
Yeah. Okay. Let me look into that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Section 11, the enrollment agreement. It says on the first page, this 8-page enrollment agreement, and the bottom says page 1 of 7. And it could be that because page 8 is intentionally left blank, but it doesn't say that. So either say the 7-page,
yeah,
or have.
I've gone back and forth with him to change it so many times, and sometimes I get the wrong one in the right place and the right one in the wrong place. So
I personally would prefer if it's in 7.
Well, if it is 7 pages, it will say 7. And if it's 8, then the bottom will say 1 of 8.
Yeah, I'd rather see 1 of 7 bottom because the text goes through the 7th page. So, I personally. Did you have anything else on the enrollment agreement?
No.
So in section 12, which is a catalog,
yes,
on page 11 of 13, which builds a case for that other one being of 7, because this is obviously technically page 14 is intentionally not mine, under reentry,
okay.
Is the reentry fee really $1,000?
Yeah. I thought we fixed that to 100.
No, I don't remember changing that one at all. Some of the things that we've had happen, and it actually happened for me personally, was not in this program, but in another one. I actually had to take off almost a whole year of a program that I was enrolled in. And so, but at the same time, while I was off, I got some of the program in terms of the mentoring part. And so it's like I got part of the program, but I didn't get the whole program. So I said, can I please come back and do the second year? Because I'd only done a little piece of it. And it only made sense at that point that I should pay something additional for doing that. And I can't remember what we agreed on, but because it wasn't this particular program. So I don't know if that's something I need to look at and that's accurate or not.
Well, obviously, we can't tell you that you can't charge $1,000. I've never seen
it. It just seems like a lot to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll check.
I mean, you certainly can have fees for, giving them credit for life experience or something that happened in the interim. But, I mean, I could have not returned from the leave because based on your leave policy, I've run out of time and I can't come back. Then I come back the very next week and I'd be charged $1,000 compared to being out for a year.
Typical reentry fees are under $100 at a school.
Or certainly not more than your application fee up front.
Yeah. 200?
Yeah, honestly, I assumed it was a typo.
Yeah.
Well, and that could be too, because I'm the one that typed it.
And actually, on page 10, leave of absence. It says you're readmitted at or before the same point in the calendar when you began your leave, which may mean a student must wait up to a year before coming back just because of how you have your schedule set. But do you have, like, right off the bat, can I ask for a 30-day leave? Can I ask for a 180-day leave? Can I ask for a year leave? If I ask for a 30-day leave, you say, sorry, you can't come back until for 12 months because this, the wheel's not going to come around. There's just not enough information to know what I'm allowed to do.
Okay.
So typically they would say things like, leaves are generally not granted for more than 30 days, and no more than two leaves within a 12-month period, or no more than 180 days in a 12-month period, and the student must return at the point which they left, which may result in them, the leave itself may be 36 days, whatever, but the time out may be longer because they can't come back in, but I would ask for leave for this period of time. Do you say, I'm going to grant you the leave, by the way, you can't come back here, you're going to have to come back here. But then you have to make sure it's worded as such that if your policy said limited to 30 days, that's it. If I can't come back in 30 days, then I can't take, you can't grant me the leave because I can't come back within it. Okay. So just finesse that wording a little bit so I know, can I take a 2-year leave? According to this, I could. I could take a 2-, 3-, 5-year leave and just come back whatever's part of that. We probably don't want people to be out that long. Who would be like this? Anyone else have anything in the panel?
No.
That was my last one. Again.
Oh,
anyone else have anything?
Nope.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your policy is fine.
The 2-year policy?
It's fine. You guys are good.
Okay. Okay, then I am making a motion to grant the conditional and non-accredited vocational program license for the Institute for Applied Meditation, Inc., with a consent agreement for operating. Wait.
No, they operate. They've been operating, right?
Yes.
Oh, here we were praising you up and down. Turns out you did a major no-no. I was right by it.
We knew that. Terry and I talked about it.
You've been waiting for that shoot.
We're happy with the consent agreement, yes.
All right.
It's sitting there so mellow. All right.
We knew. We had 55 people clamoring for the program, and we still have 50.
So did you give your kids that extra cookie before dinner because they wanted it?
No, we didn't.
No.
Okay, then. Don't do that again. You have to follow the rules. You may have learned that today.
Yes, we know that. Well, actually, we learned it when I first talked to Terry. But by then, it was too late.
Okay, well then, I have to amend my motion here to say correctly that while we are making a motion to grant you the original conditional non-accredited vocational program license application for Institute of Applied Meditation, with your consent agreement to operate without a license, which has a $1,000 civil penalty.
Yes, we know that too.
And with stipulation of a $15,000 surety bond to be maintained, which means there we have it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Are all of your notices requirements?
Oh,
your revisions?
Yes. The admissions one is, because you can't. I can't tell what it is that they really want. I think the rest were concern for clarity. No, they're not. You're right. So admissions have to be clear. They need to remove the reference to Catholic priests or improve it in Section 8. They have to remove the puffery in Section 9. And revise the statements about graduates supporting themselves with donations.
That was Section 10, wasn't it?
That was Section 10.
So there's four.
And they're going to consider changing the refund policy, but they are not required to. and they're going to consider a change in leave of absence policy. They're not required to. And they got to think about how much they're charging reentry students.
For our purposes, to get back what we need to get back to you, will we get like a minutes of the meeting or something from you all?
You can listen to
I'll
you.
Take back and listen to you.
What I usually I try to do within a few days after the meeting, definitely not tomorrow, is send you an email with what the requirements are.
Perfect. Okay. That'd be great. Thanks, Terry.
That's about the time I get. I'm done going through all their stuff and stuff. Yeah, so it's about 2 or 3 days.
And do you have a time frame when you'd like us to get it back to you? You and I can talk about that later.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you agree to the stipulations to make the changes, pay the civil penalty, and maintain your bond?
I do.
He's our president of the board, so
I say, do you have the authority to say that to secretary? Sure. Okay. We have motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Glenn did.
Mr. Blair as well.
I think everybody did.
Actually, we all did.
I think everybody did.
Got married right there, too.
Okay. Okay, so motion's passed.
Thank you, Warren, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Go forth and do not cause us to have to be penalty again.
We'll send you all graduation announcements to come to the Hertalia University.
Okay. And last but not least.
He's been here all day.
All day.
Okay. I don't see my smiling face all day, so that must be your last, right?
The conditional non-accredited vocational program license application. Okay. We're going to wait to finish that sentence.
No. Now we're missing a couple of board members.
Do you have any water?
We don't have a quorum right now.
If I don't have water, what else do we have?
I want water.
I have change.
Oh.
Margaritas all around.
I don't think I have that many.
Oh, it says in the guest hall. Okay. Yeah. I'm seeing all appeals.
Yeah.
And that's how the board.
Good. 4 o'clock. Long day.
Very much so, yes.
Thanks for your patience.
Oh, no problem. Appreciate you guys having it.
Sometimes
I heard you that it was too short.
Short,
yeah.
Short.
Okay.
We do that one.
Yeah. How long on average do they normally go? Is it usually go this
it
long?
It really depends on our agenda and the complexity. You know, sometimes all applications are really wired, boom, 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 and then sometimes they're not. We saw it today.
I can't remember the last time we went to 4 o'clock, though.
About a year ago.
Was it?
I might have been here.
Jason
was here.
Remember?
Jason was here.
Remember?
And Belfast and bought us food.
Yeah, we got food. Probably he was on the.
We got one left. There's one.
There's
no, right
one
there.
Here.
That one there.
Yeah. Trish wanted one, too. I think
Trish.
She got by
him. Is that her office locked?
Ours?
It was.
Upstairs?
Was it Kim then?
Yeah, it was up. No, she had to leave. I was up there because if I wanted to make sure there was a bunch of apps that came in, so I went and picked them up next door from home.
No, I'm good. Thank you. You. It's all you, buddy.
Craig, you need water?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Yes.
Want water?
Thank you.
I've been here 13 years. I have my own key. I have my own key and everything.
Really? Well, I was asked to bring a key. I brought a key, but not any mark.
Oh, no, that's right.
I'm glad.
I
need a bonus.
I'm glad. I know.
So do I. How many years did it take you? About a certain period of time without the test.
Yeah, I'm not sure going to ask you that one. Well, that one right away because they all go.
I want more money. $34.
They were the office watcher. I sat there for 10 days.
You have to put that in or do they design
it? I have to ask them. I just stamp the mail.
Or no, just the board.
Stare at the window.
Sing Christmas songs to yourself?
Yeah. Thank you. Much appreciated.
I thought it'd make a big difference to you.
All right.
Yes.
$8 an hour today.
Well, I don't know if it's prepping. I think it might go down to five bucks.
Yes, it is. Because you want to make sure
we filled it.
Fucking burger.
Are
you in grade school?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ready?